Nathan Fraser Show, episode 61, How to Become an Expert at Anything in 5 Simple Steps. Wow, that is hyperbolic.
Government is inefficient and should be dissolved.
What government should actually do is just leave people alone to buy and sell freely among themselves. If they just leave self-interested traders to compete with one another, markets are guided to positive outcomes as if by an invisible hand.
It's free markets that are moral because you only succeed if you meet the needs and wants of other people.
One of the hard things for people to understand is that the more you try to control an economy, the more quickly it falls apart.
Capitalism. God's way of determining who is smart and who is poor.
What is up, a free market squad and the place to be? Thank you for taking an hour out of your week to hang with me. I am Nathan Fraser, the high priest of propaganda, the host with the hero complex. This is the Nathan Fraser Show. You, more importantly, you are the free market squad, and I cannot say thank you enough for taking an hour out of your week to chill. Let me get all up in those ear holes. Just the tip, though. All right. So this week, we're going to be talking about how to overcome imposter syndrome. This is something that a lot of entrepreneurs deal with, and that's going to be the main focus of the show this week. And we're going to touch upon it from a couple of different angles. I've got a story about getting kicked out of a Facebook group. That was fantastic. And I'm going to tell you all about that. Also, we're going to cover, it's been a while since I've done a solo episode, so we're going to cover some of the stuff that's been going on in Nathan Fraser land. And then towards the end of the show, I'm going to get into 5 simple steps that you can take to get over your imposter syndrome. Imposter syndrome is basically just the idea that you're not good enough to do whatever it is that you want to do, or that people will find out that you're not an expert. And I've got some surprising news for you on that front. So stay tuned for that. But before we get into all that, a huge thank you to Truth Frequency Radio Network, UCY.TV, and of course, LRN.FM for making this propaganda possible. I do appreciate all of y'all's efforts on providing a platform for little old me. That's fantastic. And of course, if you are new to the show, you want to hear more, if you're enjoying this long, drawn-out introduction and you want more long, drawn-out introductions, you can always get that over at NathanFraserShow.com. Okay, enough of the long, drawn-out introductions. Let's go ahead and kick off this week's show with our focus on freedom. I went from rapping about chemtrails and get more bay to rapping about how business owners can get more pay. Before these status fools, we need tools to defeat them. Free FM, focus on freedom. All right, so this is the Live Free FM Focus on Freedom aspect of the show. And like I said, I wanted to talk about something exciting that happened to me this week. I got kicked out of yet another Facebook group. Now, you know, I'm not like the most, I've really tried to avoid arguments. I'm not the most argumentative person on Facebook. Arguments on Facebook are usually very futile. It's a lot of energy, it's a lot of emotion, and not a lot of outcome. So I typically, even when people come and troll my own Facebook posts, I typically don't put too much energy into it. If I make a comment and somebody wants to get into a heated debate, I usually have like an investment amount. I'm like, okay, I'll make 3 or 4 responses. And if I still haven't made any headway by that time, I'm not going to fall for the sunk cost fallacy where I'm just like, well, I've already invested 80 posts. What's another 10? Maybe I'll be able to convince him then. I don't deal with that. So typically I'm not very argumentative on Facebook. But every once in a while I do get kicked out of a Facebook group, and that happened this week. I was in a group called, I want to say it was called the Copywriters Club. And this isn't anything bad on them specifically. Just it is what it is. That was the group that I was in. And one of the wannabe copywriters there, one of the very newbie copywriters there was posting a couple days ago. She posted something about how copywriters have privilege. She went into this whole rant about how by charging high rates, it's somehow racist and oppressive for us to charge high rates because the majority of business owners that can't afford high converting copywriters, highly effective copywriters, those are businesses owned by minorities, because apparently in her mind, minority is somehow equal to not successful. I don't get that, but that was apparently part of her argument, was that that minorities aren't successful in business, so they're the ones that need help the most. And by charging high rates for our copywriting skills, we were deliberately pricing out the people that needed our services the most, and that happened to be predominantly Black and Hispanic business owners. And so somehow by charging high rates for our copy, that meant that we were racist, that we were oppressive. And to me, first of all, I put a high charge on my own prices, because people that don't pay high rates typically don't have the money to implement what I'm going to teach them anyways. And also, if I don't charge any price at all, they rarely take my advice for anything other than free advice, and rarely run with it. If I charge below what I feel that I'm worth, I've got a limited amount of time, and I have to pick who I'm going to give my time to. And that's actually something that's going to come up later in the episode. But, and just overall, the people that put the most skin in the game are usually the most dedicated, and I want my work to go to the people that are the most dedicated. So I want to serve the people that are willing to put the most skin in the game. And that typically, comes down to who's financially willing to put the most skin in the game, who's financially willing to put the most on the table. So for me, it's selling myself short, and it's a disservice to provide to lower the value, the perceived value of what I provide by not charging high rates. And that's just the way that I look at it. That's what experience has shown me. I've been doing this, doing marketing consulting and copywriting for a few years now, and it's been my experience that if you don't charge, people rarely take it seriously. And if you charge too low and you undervalue and underprice, the perceived value is not as high. And the higher you charge, the people that are able to pay those fees are the people that are also the most likely to be able to implement the actions that your knowledge is providing for them. So, for me, it has nothing to do with race. It has nothing to do with holding people down. It's just basic economics. It's supply and demand. It's making sure that people place the appropriate value on what I'm providing. And it has nothing to do with trying to hold people down or racially discriminating against people. But I didn't comment on it because, like I said, I saw it. I scrolled past it. I didn't want to make any kind of fight in the group. It just wasn't worth my mental energy at the time. And so I scrolled right past it and kept on going along with my day. Well, yesterday or the day before, Shane Hunter, one of my Facebook buddies, past guest on the show, and somebody who I consider to be a partial mentor in certain aspects of my life. And Shane had tagged me in a post in this group, posted by the same girl, asking about how to get over imposter syndrome. She was bidding, or she was trying to get some client work, or maybe she had just gotten the client work and she was overwhelmed with the idea that she wasn't going to be able to deliver, to perform, and that they were going to find out that she wasn't nearly as qualified as they thought she was. And she wanted to know how to get over these feelings, these insecurities. And since Shane and I had done an episode that recently kind of touched on it a little bit, I don't know if we did a deep dive on it, but we definitely talked about the situation, and Shane was trying to be helpful for this girl, and he asked me to post that episode. And so I did, and then I realized that it was the same chick that had posted the previous post about how it was racist and oppressive to charge high rates for copywriting fees. And so underneath, after I posted the link to the show, I followed it up with, and these are my exact words. I've got a screenshot here. I posted, also, Shane, isn't this the same lady who posted that garbage about privilege shaming copywriters for our high fees? Maybe get over your cultural Marxist indoctrination before you start worrying about imposter syndrome. And immediately following that, I got banned from the group. One of the main guys that runs the group, Rob, I'm not going to use his last name, but Rob says, not cool, guys. Disagreement is one thing. Disparaging another member of the group or using comments to make fun of others violates the no asshole rule. Thus the ban. Let's engage respectfully. There are plenty of other places on Facebook where this kind of comment is welcome. As you both know, this is not one of them. And I got banned. It's not the first time. I've been banned from a few marketing and copywriting groups. That's okay. That I'm going to just bite my tongue about how I feel about that particular group. But it was no loss. It wasn't something that I was very upset about. Anyways, Shane did not get banned, but I did. And so Shane started screen capturing the dog pile that ensued after I made that comment. Things like, thanks for keeping this an asshole free zone. And I come here because this is supposed to be a safe space. And now I feel violated. And like some absurd, super left wing, like a lot of very social justice warrior-y type posts. And, shocked me because I am not used to that in the business world. And I, just personal experience, just personal preference, I won't work with people like that. If I get the hint that somebody's a social justice warrior type person and they're a business owner, or if I get the hint that they're left-leaning in their politics maybe not their political ideals, but in their economics, I guess. If they're left-leaning economically and they kind of lean to that side of the fence, I refuse to do work for them. And personally, as a business owner, if I ever found out that somebody that I had hired to do my marketing or to do my copywriting, if I ever found out that they leaned left economically, or they were indoctrinated into cultural Marxist ideology, I would fire them immediately. And that might even be illegal. I don't care. I do not want somebody who's a Marxist working for me. I do not want the success of my capitalist business being at all reliant on somebody who owns these equity cultural Marxist or just straight up Marxist democratic socialist ideals. Get the hell out of my business and keep me the hell out of yours. That's how I feel. And there's a couple of reasons why. And the reason why I said this to this girl, that she needed to get over those ideas first before she started worrying about imposter syndrome, is because these people that think this way, you're in business to make a profit. You're in business to make as much money as you can and help as many other people as you possibly can. And as a good business owner, as somebody who's an ethical business person, there's a correlation. Making a bunch of profit is not a sign that you're hurting people. It's a sign that you're helping people. It's a sign that you're helping more and more people. As profits go up, that's an indicator that more and more people appreciate what you're doing for them. And so the disconnect there in people that adopt these social justice and Marxist ideals is they believe that profit is exploitive or exploitative. They believe that the more profit you make, that's indication that you're exploiting more and more of your workers. And I don't want somebody like that working for me. They see me as their enemy. They see me as somebody who's exploiting them rather than somebody who's giving them an opportunity. I don't want that person working for me. Also, a lot of the times these people tend to see economics as like a fixed pie. The only way one person can be successful is by taking away from another person. In order for one person to succeed, another person has to fail. I don't see it that way. I obviously see competition, but the majority of the people that could be considered my competition, I'm happy to work with them because we have similar goals. And by working together, we can both reach our goals. And realistically, like the whole idea of entrepreneurship is to take something of little or no value and turn it into something of value. It's the concept of taking ideas and turning them into actual solutions. So the idea that everything's a fixed pie and one person can only win by taking away from others is completely antithetical to the entrepreneurial thought, which is you can still have yours and I can just take my idea and turn it into a solution and sell that. And I don't have to take anything away from you to be able to succeed. So, there's that. Also, you know, a fair and free market, transaction means that both people walk away from the transaction feeling like they have more than what they walked into the transaction with. So this fixed pie mentality that, permeates the left is just not something that I would ever want to be business wise associated with. And then the other thing is I mentioned equity, the idea that we should all have equal outcomes, that everybody should get a living wage or everybody should get the same amount of money that is involved in the project, and your outcome should be based off of everybody should be able to get equally at the end of the day, rather than people that perform the best should be rewarded better. That's something that's vital for being an entrepreneur and for being a marketer. You have to understand that in order to be successful in the entrepreneurial realm, you're going to get paid on your performance. There's two types of thinking about how to get paid. There's people that want to show up, do some work and have a guaranteed paycheck for the hours that they worked. And then there's people that say, you know what, I'm going to risk it and I'm going to be paid based off of my performance. If I perform well, I'm going to get paid well. If I perform crappily, I'm going to get paid crappily. Somebody who's attracted to a paycheck and equal pay for equal time clocked in, because I don't want to say equal work. And even equal work, that equal work doesn't matter either. You could work all day digging holes and filling them back up, but if that doesn't help me produce something that produces profit, then that equal work doesn't mean anything. But the fact of the matter is if you see the world as you just want to show up and have a guaranteed paycheck and get paid for showing up and for doing work and for spending time, rather than getting paid based off of the results that you provide, then you have no idea or you have no place, no right. I guess you have a right, but you have no place being an entrepreneur. You have no place being in the marketing world, because as a business owner, you want to pay somebody for the results that they get, not the time that they put in. I don't care if you spend 80 hours working on an ad campaign. If it doesn't convert, then that $80 worth of work was useless to me. If you spend an entire year coming up with a campaign and it doesn't convert, then you haven't earned your money. It's not just show up, clock in, clock out and get a paycheck. It's deliver results and get a paycheck. And, she was very much of the mindset that, that is the worker mindset. And I said, I just was laying it out there. Look, you got to get over these labor ideas. You got to get over these Marxist ideas. You need to get over this workplace way of thinking, because that's going to be way more destructive towards your future success than imposter syndrome is going to be. And yeah, I was kind of a dick the way that I laid it out, but I kind of always am. And that's probably why I got kicked out of the Facebook group. But that's basically what it comes down to is, I just won't work with people like that, and I wouldn't hire somebody like that. And if I was somebody that hired this girl to do my copy and I saw these types of posts, that she was making on Facebook, I would immediately fire her. And that's just the way that it is. If you're basically, it's like this: if I'm going to hire somebody to bring in sales, they better not think that selling is a bad idea. And if you're going to hire me to raise your profits, you better not think that profits are a bad idea. And if you're a cultural Marxist, or if you adopt any of these ways of thinking, we're not going to have a very good business relationship. So I wouldn't hire you. I wouldn't work for you. And maybe I was a little bit abrasive in the way that I approached the situation or responded to the post. But I blame Shane Hunter, the abrasive entrepreneur, for his mentoring of me in that aspect. No, I don't blame you, Shane. I totally accept responsibility, because I think the reason why I'm so drawn towards Shane and the way that he teaches stuff is because it perfectly melds with who I am and what I already know. So I was probably very likely to respond that way, even if Shane hadn't tagged me in the post. But that's what happened. Kicked out of another marketing Facebook group. Woohoo. So that is this week's Focus on Freedom. I guess the main point there is, don't do business with social justice warriors or cultural Marxists, because they are no good for the bottom line. I'm not a guru. I'm not an activist. I'm just an entrepreneur and an anarchist, trying to be a leader and deal with haters, man. This is my life. Welcome to Nathan Fraser Land. All right, we are back, and welcome to Nathan Fraser Land. Like I said, it's been a while since I did a solo show, so we have not had the opportunity to check in and see what's going on in my own personal life, my own business life. So I'm going to get you guys up to date. We did launch the first episode, and we're about to do the full-on launch of the new Copywriters podcast. I've hinted at this over the last couple of months, and we released episode zero. We're about to do a full-on launch. David Garfinkel, who is widely known as the world's greatest copywriting coach, is the surprise host of the show. I was astonished that he decided to do the show with me, but I am extremely grateful. So far, every single episode has been phenomenal. And if you want to check out the episode zero, get a sneak peek before it's released to the public, you can go over to copywriterspodcast.com. and sign up. That's Copywriters podcast, not the law copyright, but the sales copy copyright, copywriterspodcast.com. Check that out. And some other stuff that we've got going on. I just put together a free course on email list building. I personally, email has been the backbone of my business, and I put together a course on all of the things that I've learned over the last couple of years on building my email list. And I wanted to make that available for you. If you're in the middle of building an email list, if you're just starting building an email list, if you've been building an email list for a while and you want to employ some new tactics, we've got some beginner basic stuff. We've also got some very high level advanced stuff in that course. It's 21 minutes long, and it's, no matter where you're at, you're going to find some super valuable stuff. And of course, it's available for free. So head on over to freemarketsquad.com and sign up for the email course that I've put up there. I'm hesitant to talk about this on the air. I've been working with two different clients on some copy projects, some marketing projects, and business is picking up, and it's making my accountant nervous the way that I've been handling it so far. So I am going to be, within the next couple of weeks, I'm going to actually be putting together a marketing agency, a legal entity. As an anarchist, it goes against every single one of my principles. But if you want to help people in their businesses, it's just, I guess it's what you have to do, and it sucks. But just like paying taxes, freaking sucks. But if you want to help people and you have my very narrow niche down skill set, it's just part of the territory. And so that's what I'm going to be doing. Is over the next couple of weeks, I'm trying to put together an official legal above ground, legitimate marketing agency. We'll see what happens with that. And the last thing is, in preparation for David launching his podcast with Podcast Blastoff, with our BlastPod service, we actually have created a new template for BlastPod users to use on their podcast website. It's what I'm using actually right now on the Nathan Frazier Show. So if you go to NathanFrazierShow.com, you can see the new template. We got a little bit of tweaking that we still need to do on it, but I love it. It's podcast first. There's nothing competing for your attention. When you land on the homepage, it's just a bunch of podcast episodes, and that's all that's available for you to do is listen to podcasts. So that's awesome. I love that. And we've got that available now for our users to maybe tailor the experience that their listeners have when they come and visit their podcast. When we come back on the other side of the break, we're going to retouch the topic of imposter syndrome and getting over this mentality of like people that are experts and better than you. And I'm not sure what I'm going to title this next section of the show, but it's going to be talking about how to become an expert yourself in any particular field and how to overcome that imposter syndrome. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back on the other side of the break. If you're struggling with not feeling that you're worthy of pursuing whatever it is that you're pursuing, if you're worried that people are going to find out that you're not the expert, we're going to teach you how to deal with that on the other side of the break. Free Market Squad, don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Free minds, free markets, free people.
All right, before we jump back into the show, I do want to give you a reminder. Actually, we're going to touch back on something that I was talking about in the show, which was the lady talking about how, as plain and simple fact, some business owners can't afford copywriters. I get that. I'm not insensitive to that. It is a fact of life. So, and maybe some of the most in need of good, solid copywriting business owners can't afford it. And they're probably the ones that are the least likely to be able to afford the copywriting they need. I get that. I was in that spot. When we first started Podcast Blastoff, that was me. I was that guy that desperately needed good copy and didn't have the funds to afford it. And so that's why I learned how to write my own copy. And one of the gentlemen that taught me the majority of what I'm going to say, a few influences, Ray Edwards, Dan Kennedy, and David Garfinkel, when it comes to straight up sales page, sales copy, those three guys completely changed the way I was approaching advertising, completely turned around the results that I was getting, and completely saved my business. And David Garfinkel, one of those three, is actually somebody who I'm partnering with on this new podcast, the Copywriters Podcast. So if you are a business owner and you need to up your sales copy game, and maybe you don't have the funds to hire a copywriter, or if you do have the funds to hire a copywriter, but you want to make sure you're not getting ripped off, you want to make sure that you understand what they're doing so that you can make sure that they're doing it right, you need to be signed up for the Copywriters Podcast. You need to be notified when that podcast comes out so that you can get subscribed on iTunes or Google Play or Stitcher, however you listen. Get the first episode of the Copywriters Podcast. It's out now in a limited accessibility. Also, it comes with David's 10-point copy critique checklist that he uses for his own copy and for his high-paying clients. The value between the first episode of this podcast and his checklist is immeasurable, and we're giving it away for free. Probably we should be charging for it, but I love you listeners. David wants to help people. He comes from a very similar place where I do. And he wanted to make this available for free for you. So stop the recording. Stop what you're doing. Head on over to copywriterspodcast.com and get signed up right now.
Let me ask you something. Haven't you ever been tempted to just break the rules and finally
get back at my big faceless corporate bosses for making me feel so small and insignificant?
Look at this, Marge. $58 and all of it profit. I'm the smartest businessman in the world.
Government can print money, but it's the entrepreneurs who really make the money.
Why don't you guys just make your cars cleaner and nicer and try to be better to your customers so that you can compete with Handy Car's popularity in the marketplace?
Shut up and take my money.
Free Market Squad in the place to be. Welcome back. We are broadcasting on the Truth Frequency Radio Network, UCY.TV, LRN.FM. This is the Nathan Frazier Show. I am your host with the Hero Complex, the High Priest of Propaganda, Nathan Frazier. Thank you for joining me. You, more importantly, you're the Free Market Squad. And I just wanted to say thank you for taking this time to let me get all up in your ear holes and to invest in yourself. That's really what I love the most about what I'm able to do is being able to help people get out there and accomplish their dreams and accomplish their goals. And one of the biggest paybacks, other than the fact that I, you know, doing this podcast leads to getting customers and clients and it's financially incentivizing for me to keep doing it. But more than that is meeting people or connecting with people on Facebook that tell me that because of this show that they were able to overcome some sort of obstacle in their business, that they were able to start seeing success in whatever it was that they were doing. Being able to serve people like that is freaking phenomenal. And it's probably more so than any kind of monetary compensation. That doesn't mean you, if you're going to hire me, you can get away with not paying me. But if you're just listening to the show and you're getting something valuable out of it and it's helping you accomplish what you want to accomplish in the world, that right there is freaking awesome. And being able to hear stories about that from people is, I don't want to say payment enough, but it's pretty awesome. So I'm going to actually spend the rest of the show talking about just that, how you can get over your fear of not being worthy, how you can get over your imposter syndrome, how you can yourself become an expert in your field. And I'm going to have to put a disclaimer on that, but I'm going to do it right after this here bumper. We're going to jump right into the BYO Boss segment of the show. Here we go.
For my Free Market Squad members out on the grind, you gotta be your own boss. Can't just fall into line. You gotta have a free mind
and hope for the future.
You gotta be the free market
and arcopreneur.
All right, we are back. This is the BYO Boss segment of the show, and we're going to title this segment, probably the entire episode, actually. We're going to title this How to Become an Expert at Anything in 5 Simple Steps. And I just have to give a disclaimer. First of all, Shane, I mentioned Shane earlier. He's going to hate the title of this podcast because he is the anti-expert. And with good cause, because the fact of the matter is the term expert is thrown around so loosely that it has lost all of its meaning. You have people that read one book and claim to be an expert and go out and just totally screw up other people's businesses. It's people that take half of a course on Facebook ads and now they're a Facebook ads expert. And it really sucks when people do that. So there's people that have imposter syndrome that way past the point where they're actually qualified to start getting paid, they're still afraid to step up and start collecting a paycheck and helping people. And then you have people that just dive into something headfirst, and before they even know what they're doing, they're out there marketing and promoting themselves as somebody who can solve this problem and collecting a big paycheck and just totally screwing up and really just screwing it up for the rest of us. Those of us that put in the time to learn and put in the time to actually be able to deliver the results. And what sucks about that is when these so-called experts jump into the game and start delivering crappy results, it makes business owners look at those of us that actually can deliver good, positive returns on investment. The experience that they have with the quote unquote experts really leaves a sour taste in their mouth. And then we have like major hurdles to overcome, major objections to overcome. And that, not just on our end, is it bad as like a really qualified and competent marketer or copywriter, but on their end, it's bad because their business could definitely be improved by some solid copywriting or some solid marketing techniques. But since they handed it over to some kid who just got out of college or just took a Facebook course, an online course on Facebook ads, and didn't have any real idea what they were doing and screwed up royally, because that kid screwed them over and left a bitter taste in their mouth. Now they're less likely to do what they actually need to do to improve their business. And that hurts them. It not only hurts those of us that have put in the time and effort and years, blood, sweat, and tears to get good at what we do. It also hurts the business owner because now they're less likely, they're hesitant to make the right decision in the future. So, I say how to become an expert at anything, and I don't use the term lightly. And I followed up with in 5 simple steps because they are simple steps, but that doesn't mean that they're quick and easy. They're simple, but they're not quick and they're not easy. So I wanted to put that out there. And I also want to do a little bit of a disclaimer at the beginning of actually defining my terms. I want to define what I mean when I say expert. And I'm just going to go off of I think this is the Webster's Dictionary definition of expert. And that is just a person who has a special skill or knowledge relating to a particular subject. And also, I'll probably use like I'll lean on the legal definition of expert, which is just somebody who has more understanding of something than anybody else in the room. So this doesn't mean that you're a grandmaster. This doesn't mean that you're the world's leading authority. It just means that you have a special skill, special knowledge related to a particular subject, and you're smarter than anybody else in the room at this particular special skill. So, also to start off with, before we jump into the 5 simple steps, we're going to talk about some stuff that you have to get over first. The number one thing is getting over looking up to other people and thinking that other people, experts and authority figures are better than you. That they've been somehow blessed by the expertise fairy. That's not true. People that you look up to, the people that you idolize, the people that you worship, the people that you think are just these brilliant minds or brilliant people who have accomplished crazy, awesome things that make you look up to them, they're just normal people, just like you. And they have a lot of flaws, just like you. I'm going to let you in on a secret. I've met most of my heroes, and most of them were decent people. Most of them were not horrible people. None of them were what I would consider extraordinary. They all had their one or two areas where they just excelled or they put in all that extra work to get good at. But none of them were like anybody that I would say is not just a normal person who was just extraordinarily passionate about one or two things. Some of them, in fact, some of the people that used to be my heroes, when I met them, they actually let me down. They were not nearly as cool in real life as I thought that they were before I met them. And some of the people that I've met were complete fakes. Some of the people that I met that I looked up to that I thought were just these brilliant people, when I met them, I realized that they were completely inauthentic, that they were definitely the fake it till you make it type people. And I'm going to say, even in so far as the world of marketing, I've been able to meet a lot of really, really well-known copywriters and really, really well-known marketers. And there's been a couple of them that are that have established themselves a very reputable name and have absolutely no idea what they're doing, and have basically pulled the wool over the eyes of the people that follow them. And I'm not going to name any names, but I am just going to say that be careful about what values you attribute to the people that you look up to, because some of them maybe are really smart in the area that you're thinking of them as. Some of them are just really good con artists. So that's one thing to keep in mind when you're thinking that other people, when you're differentiating yourself from the experts. The other thing is, really what the only thing that really separates these people from you is usually habits and mindsets. They're all self-conscious. They all have things that they feel like they're utter failures at in their lives. They might excel in one area, but they feel completely under-accomplished in other areas of their lives. They're human beings, just like you. And one thing, and this is something that I find myself being guilty of occasionally as well, is comparing ourselves to other people that we see as more accomplished than us. And here's what you got to understand. Just like on Facebook, not everybody puts out everything that's going on. You have a very small percentage of their life, and it's presented in a light that they want it to be presented in. And that's what you're judging your entire life. So you know all of your flaws, you know all of your weaknesses, you know all of your shortcomings, and you're comparing that to somebody who you only get an outside view, that you only get a view of what they want to put up on display. And to make a comparison of a situation where you have 100% understanding of the flaws to a situation where you're only presented certain details that paint a particular picture, and to try and compare your life to the life of somebody else, it's just not a fair comparison. You're never going to, have an accurate portrayal of the facts when you're trying to compare your life to somebody else's life in that type of manner. So don't do it. And it's hard not to compare yourself to others, but just understand that you're not having an accurate comparison when you do that. And this is the last thing. This is really what led me to do this, is I recently saw somebody posting on Facebook. They were asking in one of the groups for one of the radio shows that is a sister show on this network, Truth Frequency Radio. They were asking how they would know when they were ready to be a shaman. And there was a bunch of just bullshit answers in the comment section. And mine, again, being the way that I am, I said, look, once you stop thinking that a shaman is anything special, you're ready to be a shaman. As long as you still think that a shaman is some sort of like elevated human being, then you're not ready to be a shaman. And that's really what it comes down to. A shaman, an expert, whatever it is. I know people who are highly regarded as shamans, and they're human beings just like you. And they come to me for advice on areas where I excel, and I go to them for advice on areas where they excel. But they're not gods. They're not gurus. They're human beings, and they make mistakes, and they have personal issues that they deal with. And they happen to be a little bit smarter than the majority of the population on one particular area. And that's the same with every guru, with every shaman, with every expert. The fact of the matter is they're just people who are a couple of steps ahead of you in one particular area. But to put them up on some sort of pedestal, to elevate them spiritually or to elevate them consciously in your mind, to think that they're something other than just a mere human being, if you keep thinking that way, you will never be one of them. As soon as you realize that there is nothing different between you and them, now you're on the first step to actually being in that status. Once you realize that there is no elevated status, you're finally ready to step up to that elevated status, as paradoxical as that may sound. So now that we got that, oh, actually, one last thing, some vital personality traits. If you want to succeed and become an authority at anything, there's a couple personality traits you have to have. Number one, you can't believe that you need permission or validation from others to do something. You have to get over the idea that other people have to say that you're worthy to do something, or that other people have to say that you have permission to do something. You have to have that the ability to grant yourself the permission, to grant yourself the validation. So if you're not able to do that, start working on it right now. Also, don't be afraid to mess up publicly. Everybody messes up. And if you're going to do anything great in the public eye, you're going to run the risk of messing up. If you mess up, get up, dust your shoulders off and keep going. This is the thing. People forget the 150 times that you strike out, but they remember that one grand slam that you hit that won the game and won the World Series. But only if you're willing to step up and put the bat in your hands and swing at the ball. So you can mess up 1,000 times, but if you do for that 1,000 times, if you one time hit a home run, that's what people are going to remember you for. So don't be afraid to strike out, and don't be afraid to strike out publicly, because that's the price you have to pay in order to get that home run and be remembered for that home run. So we're going to jump into these five simple steps how to become an expert. Apparently, I am not an expert on talking this episode. So step number one, start studying. Whatever it is that you want to become an expert in, start studying. Read as much as you can. Read as many different points of view from as many different sources as you can. And as you read all of these different sources, you're going to start finding overlaps. You're going to start finding areas and ideas and concepts that you hear repeated. And repeated from multiple different points of view, and once you start seeing these overlaps, you'll know that this is the meat and potatoes, and not the fat that you need to spit out. So, the more you read, the more points of view you look at, the more you're going to find overlap. The more overlap you find, that's where you find the solid foundation. And I learned that from Shane. Shane Hunter, when he was on, he made that explicit. I kind of always knew it, but I didn't really ever put it together until he made that explicit. So I've made reference to Shane a couple times. Go check out his interview. It was a fantastic episode of the show. Also, and this is something that I can't even remember who it was that I heard this first from, but as your understanding of something grows, your ability to absorb more of it grows as well. So if you read a book one time, you'll grasp a certain amount of stuff, but a lot of it will go over your head. If you go back and reread that book a second or a third time, as your consciousness expands, the amount of that book that you'll actually be able to make sense out of will expand as well. And this is something that I learned from Ben Settle, which is don't just be reading 1,000 books. Find like the top 5 or the top 10 books and just read those ones over and over again until you're able to absorb every single nugget of knowledge. Because if you only read the book once and then you're on to the next one, then you're on to the next one, you're going to miss a lot of the stuff. But if you go back and reread some of those really good books a second or a third time a year later, combined with everything that you've learned since you read it the first time, there's going to be a bunch of new things that you're able to grasp and comprehend that went over your head the first time. And not just reading. You can get courses, you can watch YouTube videos, you can read blogs, you can download audiobooks. There's a lot of ways to learn. Just make sure that whatever it is you're absorbing and learning and going over more than once the really valid information in whichever field that it is that you're trying to become an expert in. Step number two, start practicing it. The old saying is learn, do, teach. Don't skip the middle part. Don't go straight to teaching. actually do what it is that you're learning. You can either do it for yourself. If you're like me, when I started learning marketing and copywriting, I did it for myself. And then I also offered to do it for free for others. I knew a couple of business owners that needed some copywriting done. And I said, hey, I'm learning how to do this. I'm not the greatest at it yet, but if you want me to take a crack at it. And that's kind of a risky proposal, but I found people that were willing to let me do it. And I found what I was doing right and what I was doing wrong. But mainly in my own business is where I got the most experience when I was first starting out. But it goes for anything. If you're learning how to do something, you need to start practicing it. The more you learn, the better you'll be when you practice. But if you're not practicing, doesn't matter. What is the old saying? Knowledge is power. That's not true. Knowledge plus action is power. If you don't start doing what you're learning, it's not going to actually stick. So step two is start practicing whatever it is. You need to start doing whatever it is that you're learning. Step three is join the conversation. Whatever it is that you're learning, there's probably other people that are interested in it as well. Start finding those conversations and start joining those conversations, start participating in those conversations, but do it in an honest way. If you're just learning, if you're just beginning, don't be afraid to admit, hey, I'm just getting into this. But these are my thoughts, and, start giving your thoughts on things. And if people influenced your thinking, it's cool to cite them. Say, hey, I was just reading this book by Dan Kennedy, and he said this, this, and this, and it really made sense. Have you thought about that? Or, hey, I heard so-and-so say this, and, you know, I actually don't know if I agree with that because, and here's my two cents on the subject. But don't just sit there and be a wallflower. Find out where people are talking about this and go join those conversations. That can be by starting your own blog and creating content, creating a one-way conversation, or engaging in comments on other people's blogs and participating in a two-way conversation, making Facebook posts about things, making YouTube videos, joining forums, whatever it is, join the conversation. Add your two cents to the conversation. And I will say this, though. Don't spread yourself too thin. Don't try to be on Facebook and Twitter and YouTube and your own blog and making videos and writing a book. Find where the most active pond is at, where the majority of the conversation is going on, and start swimming in that pond. And once you've become a big fish there, then start venturing off into some of the other platforms out there. But the main point is, join the conversation. Step number four is embrace leadership. At this point, once you've started joining the conversation, once you've started adding your two cents, people are going to start looking to you as a leader. The overwhelming majority of people are going to be too quiet. They're going to be too overwhelmed with imposter syndrome themselves. Even if they're smarter than you, even if they're more qualified than you, some of them won't feel comfortable stepping up and joining the conversation. And if you're confident enough to put your voice out there, people are going to start looking towards you as a leader. Doesn't mean you're an expert, but you are a leader. And a leader only has to be a few steps ahead of their followers. Just being one step ahead means that you're leading. That's just the way it is. People will start coming to you for your thoughts. People will tag you and they'll say, hey, Nathan, what do you think about this? Give your thoughts. And people will start coming, you know, they'll ask to call. Hey, would you mind getting on the phone with me? Or would you mind getting on a Skype call with me and telling me your thoughts on this? Or, you know, other people that are interested in the same thing, they're going to want to have one-on-one conversations with you. They're going to want to have Facebook conversations with you. Take those conversations and repurpose them as more content. If you've got a blog, when people come to you and ask you questions, that's probably a good indication that a lot of other people have questions around that same subject. And if you've got a good answer for them, take that conversation and turn it into a blog post, or turn it into a YouTube video, or turn it into a Facebook Live video. And that means those other people that have that same question that just didn't have the nerve to ask, They'll find those videos, they'll find those blog posts, and that will also help elevate your platform. So, and the other thing is teaching really helps you learn what it is that you're learning. So it really solidifies. In martial arts, the yellow belts teach the white belts, the red belts teach the yellow belts. It's not just the black belt that gets to teach everybody. Even the yellow belts get to teach people. And same thing with like the way school used to work. The fourth graders were in the same class as the third graders, and they were teaching the third graders. And the third graders got the chance to teach the second graders. So even if you're not an expert, even if you're not the one teacher, the one black belt in the room, you still are somebody who has the obligation and the right, fully within your rights, to start teaching some of the stuff that you're learning. And if you step up and start teaching, you will be viewed as a leader, and you'll also, it'll have the effect of solidifying what it is that you're learning by teaching and helping others. Step number five is, at this point, you're going to have people that are going to offer to pay you. And at some point, you're going to have to start, even if at first it feels uncomfortable, you're going to have to start getting paid for what you do. If you keep placing no monetary value on what it is that you provide, those that come to you for that help will also place no value on what it is that you provide. So you're kind of doing them a disservice by not charging them. Also, you only have so much time. And in order to decide who gets the knowledge and the help that you can provide, you need to sort it out by who's willing to pay you, who's able to pay you. And like I said at the beginning of the show, those who are willing to step up and pay you, put some skin in the game, those are the ones that are most likely to take what you provide and actually do something with it. So if you give them your time, it's most likely that the people that pay you are the ones that are going to appreciate it the most, and it's going to be the most worthwhile to give it to them. So yeah, at this point, you might not be an expert. You might not be world-renowned. You might not even be considered a thought leader, but you are definitely moving towards that venue, and you deserve to be getting paid for what you're doing for people. Just the main thing is, don't skip any of these steps. People are too quick to claim the title of expert, and because of that, it's kind of lost its meaning. All right, Free Market Squad, I'm out of here. Deuces.
Free minds. Free markets. Free people.
All right, Free Market Squad, one final call to action before I'm out of here. If you've got a business, you need to have an email list. That's just the simple, plain fact of the matter. If you're trying to communicate with, if you're trying to build your communication platform on somebody else's property, you're going to be subject to their rules. You're going to be subject to their eviction notices. I remember when back in the day, when we would post something from our Facebook page, it would get the same amount of reach that a normal post would get from our personal pages. And then overnight, Facebook changed the algorithm, and overnight, our reach from our Facebook pages plummeted to almost zero. And in order to get that same reach the very next day, we had to pay an astronomical fee to Facebook ads. Same thing with Google. If you're relying on SEO to get people to find your blog articles, Google can change their algorithm and your site might be ranking number one today and it'll be six pages down tomorrow. It's just what happens when you rely on somebody else to provide your communications platform. If you're using Google AdWords to drive traffic to your website, you can get slapped. I know plenty of people that have had their Google AdWords accounts stripped right out from underneath them, and overnight, all of the traffic just completely disappears from their website, and their business goes into a downward death spiral. You do not want to be in that position. You do not want to find yourself in that position. That's why it's vital to have an email list. It's vital to have a growing email list, and that's why we started an email list. I can trace back probably 90% of my customers and clients all come from our email list. And it's the one communication platform that I own. I can't have my email shut down. I mean, I probably could, but it's not nearly as fickle. As long as you're doing email right, you don't have to worry about 99%. You don't have to worry about the algorithms. You don't have to worry about paying to get in somebody's inbox. Email is the one communication platform that is built on property you own. You own your email list. It's the only list of fans, of subscribers, of potential clients, customers, prospects that you actually own. And as a business owner, you need to have that. You need to have that backup. If not backup, for me, it's my forefront. But if it's not your forefront, you need to at least have an email list as backup. You need to have a constantly growing email list. If you've been thinking about starting an email list, but you're just not sure where to start, I've got you covered. If you've been doing email for a while, but you just want some higher level tactics to really leverage your efforts in email list building, I've got you covered as well. I put everything I know about building an email list, everything that we've been utilizing to build our email list, I've put it all together in one simple 21-minute course. It goes from the very beginning basics to some of the most advanced tactics out there on email list building, and it's all available to you for free. Head on over to freemarketsquad.com/listbuilding and sign up and get access to this course today. All right, Free Market Squad, I am out of here. Faith in each other, not in authority. Be your own boss. Hashtag BYO boss. Deuces.